Well, good morning, everyone. I think it's on now. It's really good for me to be here. 4 Sundays ago, if I've got the order right, 4 Sundays ago, my family was in the Skyline Drive, visiting there. And 3 Sundays ago, we were at Ontario for the choristers. And the last 2 Sundays, I've been traveling. And so I'm especially glad to be here this morning. And as I was leaving on Friday to pick up Stacy from the airport, I was told that I get to travel again this coming week. And so I apologize, but I'm going to be missing another Sunday. It's that time of my life, or it's a sad time of my life, I guess. I'm gone so much, but certainly Brenda can use the prayers while I'm traveling so much. What's been on my heart and my mind for the last few Sundays, or the last few weeks, is the topic of prayer. Maybe you caught that from the songs this morning, and I appreciated Chuck's time of prayer this morning. So that's what I want us to think about this morning. I'll challenge you with, as I've challenged myself with the last few weeks. Before we open God's word, let's just bow to him in prayer. Lord, we first want to bow before you and thank you for a beautiful day you've created. Father, you are a great God. You're a sovereign God, and you've created everything around us. You've created everything we see and even don't see. Father, you've created this day to be set aside to worship you. Father, may that be the case in each of us, that we would worship you as a true and living God. And Lord, as your word would go forth throughout your world in this day, Father, we pray that lives would be changed and transformed and hearts would be changed. Father, and as we would consider and ponder this morning on the privilege of prayer, Father, it's such a privilege. It's a commandment from you. Father, may we think about it. May we ponder upon the fact that you already know what's on our hearts before we speak them, but yet you still want us to bring them before you. May we ponder on the fact that you never slumber or sleep, and yet you can hear the prayers of the millions and billions that are being offered simultaneously. What a powerful God you are, that you care for our prayers. And we thank you for your word that has so many promises and so many instances and so many faithful men and women who've rejoiced in the promise and the privilege of prayer in communication with you. And so we thank you for that, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tomorrow, the famous evangelist that I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, know, Billy Graham, he turns 93. And you know that he's preached across the world, and he's preached in stadiums, and he's been before millions sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's been before kings, and he's been before queens, and he's been before presidents. And as a matter of fact, he's not only met the presidents and had time with our presidents, but according to my research, he's spent personal one-on-one time with 12 of our U.S. presidents. And I read an interesting thing about him from his grandson, that this man, this godly man, has 2 regrets in life. He regrets not having read his Bible more, and he regrets that he didn't spend more time in prayer. I read just this morning, I was looking it up just to verify that he was turning 93 tomorrow, and it said, to this day, his priority every day is his personal time in God's Word and in prayer. I think at least for me, spend a lot of time stressing, and it's important to stress, the study of God's Word, Bible reading. And that shouldn't be diminished. It should be a priority. And perhaps in your life, or perhaps not, prayer is put second, or maybe not as important. I want to talk about this morning. Prayer is not supplemental or an add-on to the Christian life. It's foundational, just like Bible reading and Bible study is. Martin Luther quoted, "Just as it is the business of tailors to mend clothes, it is the business of Christians to pray. It's our trade. It's our occupation." So prayer is a commandment of Christ. It's a privilege. Let me ask you this morning, is it a priority in your life? Is it your occupation? Is it your trade? Or does it take second seat sometimes? When you rolled out of bed this morning, was that your priority to get on your knees? Was it my priority to get on our knees? When you got out of bed this morning, you had an extra hour of sleep. Was your thought, I can't wait to get to church because of prayer time? Isaiah prophesied, and Jesus quoted, "My house shall be a house of prayer." Jesus made prayer preeminent, and so should we. You know, we just sang the song. Did you catch it? Sweet hour of prayer. When's the last time you've spent an hour in prayer? Or have you ever spent an hour in prayer? Or what if you said, okay, this afternoon I'm going to set aside an hour of prayer? Let's be honest. Would it be sweet? Or would it be a clock-watching hour of prayer? For some of you, maybe your prayer life is on track, and this sermon only is going to reinforce what you're doing. And maybe for others, and you're like me, that maybe prayer was taking a second seat to Bible reading and Bible study. And it's a good reminder on what prayer really is. The text I'd like to read is in Luke chapter 11. It's on page 65 of the Pew Bible. Once you get there, I'll look up for a second. Luke 11, we're just going to read a few verses. A few weeks ago, the youth group had, they have a prayer meeting every so often. I'm not sure if it's every month, but they have a prayer meeting. And for the youth groupers that are here and those of you that have been in youth group in the past, let's be honest with each other. You don't get all fired up about coming to prayer meetings, right? You're not here 10, 15 minutes early. You don't call your friends up, tonight's prayer night. It's going to be a fabulous time. Right? Well, let me just say this last prayer meeting was special to at least me. Tim Webble led it, and everybody was expecting the same old, and before the prayer meeting, Tim says, let's talk about the Lord's Prayer. Let's talk about prayer before we pray. And it changed the dynamics of the prayer time, and it made us think about prayer in a different light, perhaps, that maybe some of the young men and women haven't thought of before. Stressing the importance of what we're doing and what we have. And at the end, you know how it's like, okay, we're going to pray now, and who will volunteer? And you know how that's typically no one wants to stare at the person who's asking for the volunteers. The hands shot up, and I was quite impressed. And so the Lord laid on my heart the Lord's Prayer, and this is not where Tim read out of. It's a different gospel. of the Lord's Prayer. So I'd like to read the version found in Luke chapter 11. The other version, more familiar perhaps, and we'll get to it, is Matthew chapter 6. So let's just read the first four verses. And it came to pass that as he, that's Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. May God bless the reading of his word. As I read that, perhaps a few things came to mind, and perhaps one of the first things you thought of was the question. It is a question. It's implied. Lord, will you teach us to pray? Seems like a strange question. Will you teach us to pray? Just the other night, we were having a young men's discipleship group, and of course, with prayer being on my thoughts, I decided we're going to talk about prayer. So I asked them a number of questions about prayer. Is prayer important? Of course it is. How often do you pray? Does God answer prayers? And some of the obvious and basic, and then we got into some other questions. And then I asked the question, who taught you to pray? And I love it. Michael Schmidt, I don't know if he's here. I love his honesty. That's a weird question, was his response. That is a weird question. Well, it's just prayer. It's, you know, like our parents do, like, and maybe we've thought the same thing. Well, that, it's just how we talk to God. It's communication. But Jesus didn't tell his disciples, well, that's a silly question. Who taught you to pray? Or how to teach me to pray? You just talk to God, whatever's on your heart. Jesus taught them to pray. He answers the question. Do you ever think about your prayer? Is it in line with what God expects, or are we like perhaps the disciples where they saw something that was different about Jesus praying here, and someone was bold enough to say, I'm a grown man, I know how to pray, I was brought up as a Jew perhaps, I see something different about Jesus. Jesus, will you teach us to pray? But I agree with Michael, it's kind of a strange question. So that's the first thing that perhaps comes to my mind. The second thing you might have thought of is this prayer is a little different than the prayer, the Lord's Prayer that I'm used to. It's a little shorter. It's a little bit different. And it is. To the Bible critic, perhaps, they might say, well, if this is the Lord's Prayer and the one we're going to go to real quick in Matthew is different, is the Bible inerrant? Did Luke get it wrong? What's up with this being different than the version in Matthew? So turn with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Or as the NIV, if you have the NIV, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So it is different. It's a little longer here in Matthew, right? Hopefully you kept your finger in Luke, because we're going to go back there, what's different? We talked about it a little bit this morning, because we were in Matthew chapter 5, which is just before this. Someone mentioned in Bible class this morning, that's very early in Jesus' ministry. So we go to Luke chapter 11. Turn back to chapter 9. Verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly, that's Jesus, set his face to go to Jerusalem. We talked about this a number of weeks back ago when I preached out of Luke 12. This begins in Luke 9:51, Jesus' journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. It's at the end of his ministry. Luke spends almost 40% of his gospel starting in here with the journey of at the end of his ministry. So what you have is you have Matthew at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus saying, this is how you should pray. Now we come to Luke chapter 11, towards the end of Jesus' ministry. He's asked, teach us to pray, and he says, this is how you should pray. So if Jesus says at the beginning of his ministry, this is how you should pray, and he says at the end of his ministry, this is how you should pray, do you think this is how we should pray? Obvious question. The answer is yes. This is how we should pray. And I'm glad the words are different. You know, maybe if the words were exactly the same between Matthew and Luke, we might say, we better say the words. The words are the important things. You know, we better recite the words. The words aren't the important. The words, and it's okay. We talked about this Friday night. The words okay, and it's great to recite the Lord's Prayer. The words are slightly different. What's not different is the pattern. The pattern is the same from Matthew to Luke. The pattern is what's important. The pattern of how we should pray. So that's the importance. And it's a good reminder to me. Hopefully it's a good reminder to you. As I study this and as you contemplate and as we talk about this, I'm probably not going to get through the entire thing this morning. I want you to notice one thing. The prayer's not about me. And that may be different than your prayers and my prayers. The focus is not about me. The focus is not to get God's attention at all. It's to get my attention on him. And the focus is about a relationship with Jesus, with God. That's the purpose of this prayer. And I think that's where perhaps, if you're not like me, that's fine. But sometimes I thank God for this, I thank God for that, but then my needs come so easily next. And it's my needs that overshadow this instead of looking at the pattern that he gave us for prayer. We get to the give us our this day our daily bread. We get right there. And again, if you're not like me, that's great. We get to the give me instead of the pattern that he's set out for us. So let's get into the pattern, the first aspect of it that I see. First aspect that I see is the place of prayer is important. And some of you may be thinking, well, are you sure? What do you mean the place of prayer is important? I thought you can pray anywhere and everywhere. And of course, that's true. We can pray and we should pray. It's a command. Let me give you a few verses about prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that we are to pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2, to continue in prayer. Romans 12:12, continue instant in prayer. Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer. Luke 18:1, pray always, pray everywhere. Ephesians 6:18, pray always. We as Christians are commanded to pray always. You know, do you ever think about that when we pray, and you know, you close your eyes and you fold your hands and you say amen and then you're done? It's like hanging up on God. Is it not that he doesn't hear our thoughts and our words anymore that we've hung up in our prayers on. Our life is, that's how we pray continually, because our life is supposed to be a life of prayer. We don't hang up on God. We are to pray without ceasing. We are to have prayer on our hearts and our minds. The Bible tells us to pray for every man. And so, what do I mean by prayer? The place of prayer is important. You know, when I travel, which is quite often, more than I'd like, I can communicate with Brenda pretty easily anywhere in the world. Fairly easy, certainly more easily than 10 or 15 years ago. And I can communicate, and I can, you know, we can shoot each other a text message or whatever. And there's communication. But the real relationship doesn't happen, only happens when I'm alone with Brenda, one-on-one. Sure, those other times of communications are important. They are necessary for our marriage. But the important times are one-on-one. And she's not in here, but I'll confess, she reminds me, it's we haven't had our date night in a while, and it's so important that for us to get, because that one-on-one relationship, being alone is so important. And I'll confess to you also, and maybe men, you're not like this, where she's talking to me, she's sharing her heart, and my mind's somewhere else. And that's what prayer is about as far as the relationship. Our mind's somewhere, so busy, so we're so wrapped up. But place is important. And this prayer starts out, and it came to pass that as he was praying, he was in a certain place. It doesn't tell us that he was alone, but I'm quite certain he's alone by himself. We read about him going off into the mountain alone to pray, that he went into the desert to pray, that he would get up way before dawn and he would go apart to pray, Jesus, that he would specifically get away to pray. That time was so important. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? He went alone to pray. He wasn't going to be bothered by his disciples snoring. So he's going to go pray by himself. The alone time is important. Yes, praying continually is important. Going down the street, praying for the quiz that we forgot about. But the alone time is important. And that's priority that we should have in our lives. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Just prior to the Lord's Prayer, it says in verse 5 of chapter 6, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Find a place. Maybe it's a physical closet. Maybe it's not. Find a place to spend alone with God. Look at the privilege we have, but look at the promise. "And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Find a time alone. You know, I try hard, and it's my habit to get up before work and spend time alone in God's Word. And a few months back, I found out something that I'll share with you. It's nothing, that's amazing that you learned this, but you know how busy and how hectic our lives are, and you know how we're constantly bombarded with emails and text messages and so forth. And in my work, when I'm getting up, there's people in the across the world that are just going, you know, they're just leaving from work, they're going home, and so I had a habit. Let me scan my email first thing to make sure there's no emergencies, you know, to respond to, because, you know, that's my job. And I would find that robbing me of my time alone, that I would scan and I'd see the problem, an issue that really couldn't wait for 2 hours. I should say, really could wait for 2 hours. But I found myself being robbed of that time, and so when I get up now, that is something that robs my closet time of the Lord. Let me encourage you to find a time. Don't get the smartphone out. Whatever technologies or whatever things disrupt your life, have time alone with God. Find a closet time alone. I'm not sure if it was a question or if it was just a discussion this past Friday, but what about shower time? And what about when I'm brushing my teeth? Is that considered alone time? And you'll have to answer for that. For me, that would not be alone time. Multitasking, I'm not good at it to begin with. Find a time to be alone with God. Let's look at the next piece. I think when we are alone, the first thing we do is ponder how approachable, how accessible our God is. You know, to the Jews of the first century, God was not accessible. God was certainly not approachable. We remember when Moses was on Mount Sinai, right? Could they come to the mountain? Could the people come to the mountain? No. God says if they touch it, or even their animals touch the mountain, they're to be killed. They viewed God as unapproachable, and that was the case. He was to them. We know the Holy of Holies, that only the high priest once a year could go in there. The general people could not go into the Holy of Holies. God was not approachable. That's how they viewed him. But we can approach God. You know, they wouldn't even say his personal name. You ever been in your Old Testament and you see the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? That's a translation of God's personal name, Yahweh, to the best we know it. They wouldn't say it for centuries. They wouldn't say it for fear of profaning it, for fear of just saying it casually, because God was so holy. And so we can only surmise that that's the name, Yahweh. But God was not approachable to them. And we kind of understand that. You know, Billy Graham, I mentioned, he's been before presidents and before kings and queens, and I don't think any of you have been before the president, certainly. Well, maybe I shouldn't say certainly, not one-on-one. I know I came this close to shaking Ronald Reagan's hand, and that's the closest I'll come to a president, I think, as far as saying hi to him. So we kind of understand that. None of you wake up at 3 a.m. and call President Obama because you have a line with him. Just give that a try. But our God is approachable. You remember the story of Queen Esther. Remember her? She's the queen. And a man by the name of Mordecai, remember, tells her that this man named Haman's going to kill the Jews, has this plot. And she is the queen, married to the king. She wants to approach the king. But unless you're summoned by the king, you can't approach the king, even if you're the queen. And so she risked her life to go before the king. And he stretched forth the golden scepter, and she was not killed. But the approachability of kings is not there. But the verse in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Memorize it. We can come boldly before the President of Presidents, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with the boldness, with our petitions and our requests. Contemplate on that fact when you have your time alone. I'll speak for myself. I don't consider always who I'm talking with. He is holy. He's the King of Kings. And we can come boldly before him. The Israelites certainly couldn't, but we can. When you come before him, and we can pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Don't start with you. Start with him. Start with him. That's where we botch it sometimes. Pause long enough to recognize who you're talking to and who I'm talking to. Spend time. This is the key principle of the Lord's Prayer, in my mind. Focus on who you're talking to. Consider who you're talking to. Hallowed be your name. Spend time on his name. Let me give you a psalm. There's quite a few psalms. Psalm 86. If you get stuck on this part and you want to say, Lord, I want to consider your name. I want to consider how great you are. Go to Psalm 86. Or maybe you have another one. But let me read to you Psalm 86 in the NIV. It's a little more fluid. Think about this as you're turning there, if you're turning there. Psalm 86, David's in trouble. He's got people chasing him, okay? Now you tell me if David is more focused on himself or God. Hear me, O Lord, and answer me, David writes, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you, for you are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I called to you all day long. Was David a man of prayer or not? Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord, for they will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Finally, he gets to his issue. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me, but have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. His focus was on not David. His focus was on his God, who was in control, whom he loved. His name was revered. That was his focus, his name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be his name. I bought a book just recently, and it's something like the 52 Bible studies on the names of God. Now, there's more than 52 names of God, but it's a one-a-week Bible study on the name of God. And I've been blessed by that. And I was thinking, I haven't shared this with any of the other brothers, but maybe next year in the bulletin, once a week, we can have a different name of God, some scripture references, what it means. You can't go wrong focusing on the name of God. And when we start off our prayers, focus on his name. Hallowed be thy name. Let me give you a few. Of course, I mentioned Yahweh, mighty creator, the God who sees me, God Almighty, El Shaddai, the eternal God, the Lord will provide, the Lord who heals, the Lord is peace, The Lord of hosts, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my shepherd. The name, I love it, the name is his name. Living God, refuge, hope of Israel. And it goes on. Focus on his name. You know, my three children have access to a name of me that no one else in the world has access to. Daddy. Father. Why? They belong to me. They're mine. And here we have access and can call him Father. You know, you won't find, if you do, show it to me, but I don't think you'll find a prayer in the Old Testament where God is referred to personally as Father. The Aramaic translation of that is Abba. You've seen that before. Daddy. The term of endearment. We can come before our Father, our Daddy. We can call him Daddy. Those of us who have a relationship, those of us who are his, can call him Daddy. Our Father, our Daddy. Hallowed be your name. Let me wrap this up. Obviously, again, I didn't think I could finish this. Until next time. Does he always hear us? You don't need to shake your head. Think about that. Does he always hear our prayers? The answer is no. The answer is no. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. When we come before this holy God, it's think about, you know, if you were to go before a president, you wouldn't have your filthy clothes on. You wouldn't have your garments torn. The same way we come before a holy God, we better think about the sins that's in our life and ask for forgiveness. David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way. So when we have this alone time, focus on who we're talking to, the God we're talking to. And if there's iniquity in our hearts, if there's sin in our lives, we better take care of it then. God won't hear our prayers. Talked about the priority of prayer. Time alone being important. I want to encourage you to have time alone. Spend time alone. Joe mentioned it. Our lives are very busy, very hectic. Someone stated, we're more comfortable with busyness than stillness. We're more comfortable with busyness than stillness. It's the truth. I don't know if you listen to WCRF, but when I heard it this past week, capped off the fact that I need to talk about prayer because I get so wrapped up in my pressures and the things, the noise around me and the anxiety in life and the stresses in life. If you listen to WCRF, the verse of the week was Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What are you to worry about? It says, be anxious for nothing. So what are you to worry about? What am I to worry about? Not one thing. If there's worry in our life, we aren't on our knees enough. And I speak to myself about that. My challenge to leave with you is to make a commitment to take prayer more seriously, to spend time alone in your closet by yourself in prayer, building that relationship with God, your Heavenly Father. Get up 15 minutes before you do now. Some of you may be thinking, oh, there's no way I can get up 15 minutes earlier. Let me challenge you. Get up 15 minutes earlier or cut out 15 minutes of the texting or whatever else, 15 minutes. And I will guarantee you that in a short period of time, you'll be saying to yourself, 15 minutes is not enough time in the morning alone. I guarantee you that. Some of you may be contemplating things in your life and you want, what's God's will in my life? What's God's will in my life? Are you wrestling with God's will in your life? Yes. But are you wrestling with God's will in that time alone? I would encourage you to do that. Here's a special number that's going to come up at this time.
This morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ our Savior? Did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rest the weary. Change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When you met with great temptation, did you think to
Let's rise for closing prayer. Lord, we come before you now, and we're thankful to hear your word today. And as we were reminded, our lives can be busy, and yet we think we can take nuggets of time and throw requests at you and demand things that are going to make our lives better. And yet, Lord, you want to communicate with us. We pray, Father, that we would hear this word today and take it to our hearts. Take time to be in communication with you so that we can hear what you have for us and that we can focus our needs from us to you. Be with us, Father, as we depart here. And as we share this meal together, we ask that you'd help us to nourish our bodies and bless the hands that have prepared it. And Father, that this afternoon service would be a glory to you as we gather again to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This will conclude our services this morning.